This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to Street Knowledge. This is Chris Graham, and we're going to talk UVA-UNC basketball here on a snowy, icy Saturday morning, at least in Virginia. For most who are in Virginia, I would say most, that would include pretty much all of you, right? All of us. My part of the world may actually not be as bad as some of the folks in Central Virginia, where the bulk of the precipitation is now moving. We normally get all the snow up here in the mountains, but you guys are getting the ice today. So safe travels for everybody. This would be an interesting day if this were a normal time. UVA, UNC, there'd be folks all across the Commonwealth and maybe even outside who would be heading into Charlottesville for this big game. And today, in pandemic year at least, maybe not so much. Obviously, just a few fans will be there. Scott German will be representing the Augusta Free Press. I will be safely in the home office here covering the game, but we'll have a live blog today at 6 o'clock. Tip is around 6 o'clock. Scott will be reporting from JPJ. I'll be reporting from the home office, and we'll have live coverage for you. And then, of course, post game, we'll have all kinds of stuff for you after the game. But we want to get you ready for the game, and that's an important part of this whole aspect here. I write a column before each game where I break down the opponents. I call it what UVA basketball fans need to know. So here's what you need to know about North Carolina. Just a little bit of insight into the Tar Heels this season. The Tar Heels are like a lot of the blue blood you see this year. If the Carolina, maybe Kansas as well, would be on the bubble. Duke and Kentucky would be out. They're not even on the bubble right now as far as NCAA tournament consideration, if the tournament were being seeded today. It's not being seeded today, but if it were, the Tar Heels would be, I don't know if they'd be on the bubble, but they'd be clinging to it. 12-6 record, 7-4 ACC. Those are fine numbers when you think of there's just those numbers, but they're 55th in the NET rankings. And with a 1-5 record in Q1 games, quadrant one games, and there's a breakdown of how those games are delineated: quadrant one, quadrant two, quadrant three, quadrant four. Quadrant one, this would be a quadrant one. If North Carolina were to beat Virginia today, that would definitely be a quad one win. Virginia is in the top 10 in the NET rankings. Their one quadrant one win is a win at Pitt. On the road, and Pitt right now, 75th in the NET. Now, that's going to change. I mean, it could go up or down, but Pitt 75th in the NET. So 1-5 in Q1, that's a determinant. Can they win games against good opponents? And so the Tar Heels, that's what they got. I mean, they've got a win over Duke. They got a win over Kentucky. But as I mentioned, those teams would not be tournament teams right now. Those are not Q1 wins for North Carolina. So opportunity presents itself today for North Carolina as far as that goes. Carolina coming off the win over Duke, then they had to miss their scheduled Monday game with Miami because video surfaced of some Carolina players celebrating the win over Duke at a event party, I guess you can say, maskless a year ago. Imagine that would cancel a game. Just imagine your thought process when you heard that would cancel a game. So you look at this Carolina team. I said before the season, and even, months ago when you thought maybe there's a possibility that things will normalize a bit during the season, that this Carolina team would eventually be good. I can remember thinking last year when I was looking at the recruiting that this Carolina team would maybe struggle a little bit in November and December, but they'd get better as the season went on because of so much youth. They had 3 5-star recruits, two others, I think, maybe 3 other 4-stars. And then you blend them in with the guys coming back, Armando Baco and Garrison Brooks, the two big guys inside. when you mesh young talent and veteran talent, it may take a while. And it's taken longer because of, I've talked about this a lot with Virginia basketball, but because Virginia's, 3 of their 5 starters are guys who didn't, one was in the program last year, technically, in Sam Hauser, but he was redshirting and leading the scout team, and 2 others, Reese Beekman, a freshman, he was a high school player last year, and Trey Murphy III was at Rice. He got the immediate eligibility this year. So I've talked a lot about Virginia needing to, work its way into knowing each other and knowing the system, everything else. This Carolina team's got a lot of just young guys in general. And so, your point guard Caleb Love. You know, when your point guard is a young guy, that's a big part of maybe why they're struggling, and he's struggling too. 11.1 points a game. I mean, the guy's talented, but 32% from the field, 26% from three. He's got a turnover issue that, you know, kind of we'll talk about more. So, and their best players are all bigs. De'Ron Sharp, a five-star recruit, is a 6'10 center. And then you talk about Bako and Brooks. I mean, Brooks was the ACC preseason player of the year. He's 10.6 points a game, 7.1 rebounds a game, 45.7% from the field. That's just shocking. I mean, he's not playing up to anywhere the level you thought you'd see out of Garrison Brooks this year. And so Roy Williams is still tinkering. He's going nine deep in his rotation. That's not even counting another five-star freshman center, Walker Kessler. There's just not enough. I mean, you can't have a team full of 6'10 guys. So Kessler's been the odd man out this year. He's only getting 6.2 minutes a game. It's a ton of talent on his team. I mean, they're an airport team. Al McGuire would have said, this is a team that looks great in the airport. It's a big team. They're, you know, just a lot of talent. There's a lot of NBA guys on this roster. It's just not meshing right now. And, and one thing about Love, too, I talked about the turnover issue, the point guard. I mean, so you got all this great talent in the post. There's really not a lot of outside shooting that you can brag about. And then Love shooting 32.4%, and he leads the team in field goal attempts, 11.7 a game, and he's like a order of magnitude above the next guy. I think it's Brooks. Brooks averages 9.0. So you add that, and he's shooting 33% more shots per game than your preseason ACC player of the year. And he's only shooting 32.4% on those shots. And UNC, so he's averaging 3.3 turnovers a game. UNC's averaging a turnover rate in ACC play of 20.5%. 20.5% of their possessions lead to turnovers. That's 12th in the ACC. That's not good. That's not something to – these numbers are adding up to why you're talking about a Carolina team that's on the other side of the bubble right now. So breaking down the offense, we do this on the What UVA Basketball Fans Need to Know column. You look at this team. This team it'll remind you a lot of Pitt. And God, I'm insulting the legacy of Dean Smith when I say that. They remind you of Pitt. We just played Pitt. That's why I say it that way. Because Carolina, this is Dean Smith, Roy Williams basketball. And I don't even want to give Roy Williams credit for it. This is Dean Smith basketball. Carolina, dating back to the Dean Smith days, big. Get the ball in the post, and then we'll talk more about the transition too. So big teams, get the ball in the post and run. That's Dean Smith basketball. Carolina's average height per KenPom.com is 7th in the country. Average height on the floor. That's a really interesting stat. I love that stat. Recruit big bodies, feed them in the post. Who do you watch for here? Bako is I hope I'm pronouncing that name right. I've heard it. I'm sure it's not Bekot. Be an idiot if I'm sounding like an idiot. And if I apologize if I'm missing that. He's averaging 1.016 points per possession on post-ups. These numbers from Synergy Sports. 1.174 points per possession on lane cuts, those little backdoor kind of cuts that you get in the lane. And offensive rebounding. Got to watch this guy on the boards. 1.366. He's 21 of 30 on offensive rebounds. And then De'Ron Sharp, also pretty solid. 1.3, at least on offensive rebounds. Keep him off the boards. In fact, he has more offensive board opportunities than Bako does. And Brooks is, Brooks, I looked his numbers up. His post-up number's not good. Where you got to watch for him is on those cuts in the lane. And so, but 33.4% of their offensive possessions are inside game. Post-ups, cuts, lane cuts, and stick-backs. So that's Dean Smith basketball. That's just what it is. Surprising that next was, and when you look down, go down in order of number of possessions or percentage of possessions, spot ups. This is not a good 3-point shooting team. Not a good jump shooting team. This is more, I said in the column, more recent Roy Williams' recent vintage. They've had great shooters, obviously dating way back. I mean, into the Dean Smith era. There's always been a guy, that could shoot from the outside. Not so much this year with this team, and that's probably an issue. If you don't have to respect the outside shot, you can double more. You can clog the lane more. And make it tough for those guys. Maybe there's a factor there as to why Brooks isn't shooting. His shooting percentage is down almost 10 points this year. Who you watch for on spot ups? That's 19.2% of offensive possessions, by the way, second on the list, surprising to me. Kerwin Walton, another freshman, a four-star freshman, 50% on spot ups, 1.315 points per possession. Andrew Platek, senior, he's been there forever, it seems like. He'll end up being a coach somewhere, I'm sure, at some point. He's just under a point per possession. And another freshman, RJ Davis, is also just under a point per possession. But that just shows you, I mean, those aren't, I mean, the Walton numbers are good. You got to watch Walton, 25 of 50 on spot ups. You know, so that he'll be the guy you watch for, when he's in the lineup, when you double and you make sure that you at least, you know, get a hand in his face when he's shooting a shot from the perimeter. If he gets space. Transition is third. And this is, you know, I've talked about Dean Smith basketball, it's inside and transition, and they're not running the ball as much as usual anyway. And they're not as good at it. Maybe that's why they're not running it as much. But synergy rates UNC's transition offense is poor, which you're scoring just 0.885 points per possession, 18.9% turnover rate. That's a big factor in that. The finisher you got to watch for is Leaky Black. He's still under a point per possession, but he's, you know, 6'8", and he's a 6'8", like athletic slasher type guy. So if keep a body on him in transition, I guess the good news is, you know, Pitt had a couple of guys when you were talking about, you know, because they're play similarly, Pitt and UNC do. Pitt had a couple of guys you kind of had to watch on the secondary break. Really not, because of the lack of good outside shooting, not something to worry about so much with North Carolina. If they don't, you know, score on the primary break, you know, they'll settle for their offense. Love in the transition, he pushes it a lot. He has 88 possessions in transition this year. His numbers per synergy are below average. And he has a 14.8% turnover rate in transition. So that's a big issue for a Carolina team that likes to push it, for Roy Williams likes to push it. Pick and roll is not much of their offense. And that's probably a good thing. They're not very good at this. Who to watch for here? I say who to watch for. Usually I highlight the guys who are, you know, effective in my who to watch for, but Love, 16.9% turnover rate in pick and roll ball handler situations. Just 32.7% shooting, 0.701 points per possession. And Davis is a little better, 0.778 points per possession, but he has an 11.1% turnover rate in pick and roll ball handler. They don't do a lot in pick and rolls where they actually, the roll guy gets it. Only 21 times this year where Carolina's bigs have gotten the ball and used it either to put up a shot, get fouled, or I guess a turnover would be a usage too, where a pick and roll led to the ball being passed to the cutter and some usage there. So very small. It was like 1.3% of their possessions this year was pick and roll man, as it's called. So they don't need to pick and roll. Teams that use their bigs in a lot of pick and rolls in the man, they do so to make up for the lack of a post-up game. And Carolina, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that's the big part of their game is post-ups and just in general, lane cuts and stick backs. Defensively, you look at this team, and Leaky Black, the best perimeter defender, actually by far, he's a really good defender. According to Synergy, 0.652 points per possession, 161 defensive possessions that led to usage by the guy that he's guarding. He's 6'8", athletic. I assume he matches up with Trey Murphy III. It's possible that Rory Williams could put him on Sam Hauser. And, you know, I don't think you go wrong either way. You got to figure out which one of those two you want to guard. Bako is best post defender. And then Brooks is below average, which is interesting. The challenge for Carolina, it's going to be a challenge on both sides. I'm going to kind of slip now from breaking down the defense of North Carolina into sort of my analysis, because it kind of starts right here. The challenge for both sides to guard each other in the post is going to be fun to see, because, you know, you've got Bako, you've got Brooks. Those are two guys that are back to the basket, traditional post guys. You got to watch them on the boards. And then, so for Sam Hauser and Jay Huff, I mean, Hauser's been stout lately in post defense. He had a great game against Justin Champagne from Pitt last week, I thought. Champagne had 18 points, but he needed 18 shots to get those 18 points. Jay Huff is an elite shot blocker, but he's more an elite shot blocker as a, you know, sort of off-ball shot blocker. And he can, we know, you're a Virginia fan listening, watching this, you know he gets in foul trouble. quite easily. So, but then on the other side, okay, so they have problems because, you know, Virginia has problems on the inside. Carolina's got problems. You know, Banco and Brooks have to guard Hauser and Huff too. So one of them is going to have to chase around either Hauser or Trey Murphy because, at, you know, Hauser at 6'8", Murphy at 6'9". You know, I mean, they who do you put, you know, Brooks on if he's the below average guy? Who do you put him on if not one of those two guys, one of those three guys, right? They're not, he's not guarding Reese Beekman. So they've got, so that both teams have, it's, you know, I guess I'm a MMA and pro wrestling fan. You talk about clash of styles in those two sports entertainments. This is a clash of styles kind of thing. Yeah, you know, these are the, you know, the finesse, to use a Tony Bennett term, Sam Hauser and Jay Huff, the more rugged Baco and Brooks, but they've got to guard each other. So it'd be fun to see how that goes. You know that Bennett's going to try to space the floor offensively with Hauser, Huff, and Murphy. The 3-4-5, space the floor. That's not the way most teams work. At least they haven't worked. They kind of work the way the NBA plays. You know Roy Williams is going to try to get Huff into foul trouble. So whoever he's guarding, and I assume it's probably Brooks, but it can go back and forth. You expect to see Williams try to feed the ball to whoever Huff's guarding. Also then expect Bennett to respond with, some post-to-post doubles to help off. And basically, whoever he's guarding, so then see either Hauser or Murphy jumping in and trying to spin the ball out of the hands of that guy. So at least that can keep Huff out of foul trouble. I mean, I'd be surprised if you don't see on the first Carolina possession when the ball's fed into whoever Huff's guarding, that you're not going to see a quick post-to-post double just to say, hey, this is what we're doing today. That guy's not going to beat us today. So that's probably the response from Virginia to keep Huff out of foul trouble, at least try to keep Huff out of foul trouble. I'm assuming Williams goes with Black on Murphy. So if that's the case, and whoever Black is on, and I'm assuming Murphy, assume that then Murphy's used at 4 in the mover blocker sets, those sets where the, you know, 4 and 5s have to, you know, they set screens and then they either pop or roll. And then the screener either, curls or flashes out to the perimeter. Whoever Black is on, I assume is going to, be the screener. And then maybe, especially if it's Hauser that Black would be on, if that was the case, I would expect then that maybe instead of popping, he would actually maybe, because Hauser's got some size in terms of just the heft and the strength, that they might actually use him more on Black in the post and try to get a post up with him there. So just see how that works out. Key for Virginia. This is just, I could put this in every column, limit the live ball turnovers. There were, you know, Virginia had some turnover issues in the win over Georgia Tech, but they largely weren't live ball turnovers. There were a couple. Get ball pressure from the point guards. This repeats from Georgia Tech, and they did a great job. I mean, Georgia Tech scored 49 points in that game. And in the first game between Virginia and Georgia Tech back in January, Georgia Tech in the first half at least pushed tempo a bit and got some quick transition shots out of it. Second half that shut down, and Virginia really shut it down for the most part for the whole game. K.A. Clark, Reese Beekman, key to that as far as that goes. So, and also offensively, Clark and Beekman are going to either need to knock down shots from the perimeter like Clark did in the second half. He ended up being 4 of 8 from 3 in the win over Georgia Tech after an 0-for first half. And Beekman is, I mean, it's interesting. I look at the percentages. He's actually a tick ahead of Clark in 3-point shooting. He's not the volume guy that Clark is. He doesn't seem confident in his 3-point shot. And that's something certainly he needs to work on in the offseason. Because Beekman's ability to get to the rim at 6'3 as a point guard, he's next level as for his ability to get around his guy. If he can develop a 3-point shot, and then you've got to respect his 3-point shot, you can't sag off him. He gets around guys who are sagging off him because they know he can only drive to the basket. Wait till they can't do that, and wait till they have to get up on him, and because they have to think he can make the three. Oh wow, he's going to be interesting. But they've got to be able to either, you know, knock down the shots or get in the lane to kind of open things up for the bigs. So you look at the offensive numbers from KenPom.com, offense, defense, tempo. Carolina's 59th in the country in offense, Virginia 13th. Defensively, pretty close, actually. Carolina, this is one of Roy's better defensive teams, underrated. 33rd in the country, Virginia 16th. And tempo, it's going to go Virginia's way, but Carolina plays about 10 and a half possessions a game faster than Virginia. Virginia is the slowest team in the country. That's not a surprise. You look at the numbers here. So it's a 6 o'clock tip. I mentioned that earlier. I'll repeat that. 6 o'clock tip, ESPN. So, you know, the commercials in between will actually be for things that people want to buy, which is interesting. I didn't write down who the announcers are for the game tonight. I'll have to find that and share that. You look at the, and I've got to update something here in the story. Bart Torvik has Virginia, a 68-59 winner. ESPN BPI doesn't actually predict a score, but they say plus 8.1, and then KenPom.com has Virginia a 68-61 winner. So pretty consistent there, between 7 and 9 points, and the win probability between 75%, 83%, according to the various metrics that I used there. So again, 6 o'clock tip, Scott German live at JPJ, Chris Graham live from the home office here, and my little lair that I've got, the background and big TV right over here. We'll have a live blog. We will have post game. I'm thinking I'm going to do a podcast like this as well. Maybe even a Facebook live after the game, just to get that in. So, we'll check that all out today. And thank you for joining us here on the show. Really appreciate your time, and, stay safe out there. As I mentioned, with all the weather, we've got to watch out for ourselves. If you don't have to go anywhere, don't. And sit back and enjoy some basketball today. A lot of basketball starting, in fact, actually just in a few minutes from when I'm wrapping up recording this podcast. So good day of basketball. Enjoy 6 o'clock tip, UVA-UNC. We will talk to you again soon.